Amen. All right, man. What a great worship today. Man, that was awesome. Awesome. Hey, I cannot wait to introduce our communicator today. He's kind of a new friend, a Compassion Christian. He played 17 years in the National Baseball League. He literally was a National League Rookie of the Year, 8-time All-Star, has 4 World Series rings. I'm so thankful I didn't say Super Bowl rings like I did a couple weeks ago when I was talking about that. But I'm sure if he wanted them, he could have them anyway. But anyway, he had 4 World Series championships, which was awesome. 2 Silver Slugger Awards, you know, just home run leader in National Baseball League. A man who gained a lot of trophies playing professional baseball. And I think that he would tell you that none of those things compare to the trophies of grace that he has received since he found the Lord Jesus and found healing and hope and peace and joy and eternal life and a mission that's transcended everything else he's done in his life. He is a good example of the miracle God can do in anybody's life. I think we're honored to be able to have our friend Daryl Strawberry here with us today. New friend of Compassion Christian. Come share the word of God with us, man. All right, brother.
Okay, swing away.
I will. Thank you so much, Pastor Cam. It's good to be with you guys. A little work here before we get going here. God, holy, there is no one like him. Oh, my God, that's a great song. If you didn't get the power of the Holy Spirit over you when that song was being sang, then something's wrong with you. Because there is no one like Jesus. A couple things. You know, I got a book called Straw Finding My Way, New York Times bestseller. If you want to find yourself to read this, it will change your life. It's my story. Then I got The Imperfect Marriage of me and my wife, Tracy Strawberry, who led me back to the Lord. Incredible marriage book. Don't give up. Don't quit. Fight through your marriage. We went through everything. God restored us. Then I got my new book called Don't Give Up On Me. It has to do with coming out. There you see right there. Shedding Light on Addiction. Coming out October 16th. Don't Give Up On Me. There's so many people that struggle with addiction, that need hope, and this book will give hope. Don't give up on somebody because you never know what God's gonna do. We're not the judge. All we can do is encourage people and love people. So don't give up. That's the new book coming out October the 16th. You can go to that website and find more information about it. But it's great to be with you here at Compassion Church. Pastor Cameron just had such a great time with you guys, man. You guys got an amazing pastor. Oh. You guys, I think sometimes you walk through the building, you don't really know what you have. You know, you're blessed to have a man like this. God sends you somebody special that loves you, that cares for his people. Bill, thank you. Men's ministry, we had a wonderful night. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's the day that the Lord has made, not man, not me. I'm just a vessel being used by God that God's changed. Let us pray. Father, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. Father, I thank you for every soul that's in here today, that someone may be touched through the power of the Holy Spirit. They be challenged, be stretched. Someone may come back. Someone may turn from the wicked ways of the world. Someone may come and seek you and seek wisdom and knowledge, Father, that you will change them forever and liberate them forever, redeem them through the blood of the Lamb, that their life will be changed. Just a touch from Jesus today. Someone needs it. Someone's struggling with some type of issues. We all got issues, Father, but we know Jesus conquered it all. May they be strengthened. May they find hope. May they find joy today in your word. We bless you, honor you, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The church say amen. Praise God. When I always say it after I pray, you know, to people is I wasn't always like this. Oh yeah, I missed that. I wasn't always like this, people. I was a heathen. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was a sinner. I was rich. I was famous, but I was saved by grace. It's only God's grace that can save a man. You know, I was lost. I was broken. Brokenness is real. Lawlessness brings about brokenness. Brokenness is real. I was broken inside. I was broken from the beginning. My dad was an alcoholic, and he came home and pulled out a shotgun for the last time after he beat me and my brothers forever. came home, pulled out a shotgun for the last time when I was 13, said he was gonna kill the whole family. Me and my brothers went into action. We almost killed my father that night. Could have been a tragedy in my life before I put on a uniform. I put on a uniform and most people just saw that I put on the uniform. And what's wrong with him? He should be well, you know. You got money, you got stuff, you know, but that's all I had was money and stuff. But I wasn't well because I was broken inside. I was empty inside. Because I didn't believe I was anybody because what my father had done to me. I was lost. I was lost when I put the uniform on. See, what people don't understand is that the uniform was great. Yes, baseball was great. But my pain led me to my greatness, and my greatness eventually led me to my destructive behavior. Because it never goes away when you're broken. Because when you're broken, it's real. You know, when you're scarred, it's real. It never goes away until you come and you enter in with this man called Jesus, and then you could be healed. See, we can look for everything else to heal us, but it's not going to heal us. I look for everything to heal me. Had it all. Money, millions of dollars in the bank, cars, homes, but I was never happy. I was empty on the inside. We look great on the outside. That's what a lot of us do. You know, we look great on the outside, what we look on the outside, and what society tells us, well, you can have this, you can be this. Well, let me tell you, the devil is a lie. See, he forgot to tell me, you know, I could have all this, but he forgot to tell me he was going to kill me in the end. See, he didn't tell me that part. You know, he let me have the money, the fame, the fortune, you know, the drugs, the women. He let me have all that, but he forgot to tell you, by the way, you're coming to hell with me. That's a real place that he don't talk about to us. He don't let us know. And we don't ever find out about that place until we come into this relationship with Christ and be able to know who we are in Christ. Then we know the real truth about life. See, I didn't know it all. You know, see, I had it all, but I had nothing. Yes, I lived behind the community gates, on the golf courses, big homes, $2 million homes sitting there. And I used to think, Pastor, is this all it is to life? And all I kept doing was buying more stuff to try to fill the empty holes inside of me. Because I had a bunch of money, but I had no hope. So I figured the stuff would make me feel good. No, it wouldn't make me feel good. I just had more bills. That's all it was. And I got into all kind of trouble with Major League Baseball. I think they suspended me about 3 or 4 times, you know, from drug addiction. And, you know, I had cancer twice and lost my left kidney in the second surgery. I got a T17169, Florida State Prison. Did 11 months on an 18-month sentence because of addiction. See, God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. See, some of us don't know God's got a plan and God's gonna do what he's gonna do. Sometime you gotta go through to get to. See, I had to go through to get to because I had a good pair of running shoes where God kept calling me and I kept running. Am I in the right place? Somebody been running from God. God has called you, but you've been running the other way. I kept running. I thought I was good enough to get away from it, but you just don't understand. You don't get away from God. When somebody's been praying for you, my mother was praying for me and my brothers that we all would be saved and changed. Guess what? We all saved and changed today. Mama didn't get to see it here. Hey, the thing about it is Mama didn't get to see it here on this side, but she got to see it supernaturally. She's probably looking down at me and says, I told him God was going to get it out of him. See, and a lot of us don't think, just keep praying. Don't ever give up. Don't ever forget. God's got a plan for those that belong to him, those that he loves. And those that don't know him, like most of us, when we first start off, we don't know him. We know his name, but we don't know his power. We don't know how great he is. See, it was just like the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't know who he was when they was hanging him on the cross. They didn't realize that he was the Messiah. They didn't realize that on the third day that he would get up. And when he would get up with all power because he would be resurrected. And we can't become resurrected until we die. So we can be resurrected just like Jesus. See, what happened to me was my brokenness led me into my destructive behavior. Yeah, I played Major League Baseball. I was very successful and had great careers and won 4 championships and used to beat up on the Braves a lot. I thought I'd get that in. I mean, George, I know pastors don't like that, but you know, I always thank the Braves for the championships they gave me when I was with the Yankees. I just needed to put that out there. No harm, no foul. But I need to come to the place, we had to come to a place, people, as God people in our life, of knowing God's will. If I never get with God, I will never know God. And I will never know God's will. See, because the Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge and understanding of God's word. That's why we perish. If you don't know the word, you're going to perish. And that's why I was perishing, because I didn't know the word of God. All I knew was I was successful and I had a bunch of stuff. But I was never happy. I had plenty of money. Signed a $20 million contract and a free agent, and I was miserable. My marriage was breaking up, and I was losing my kids, and I just signed a $20 million contract, and I went to a conference out in Anaheim Stadium, in Morris Cirillo Conference, Christian Conference, and I heard about Jesus, and all I did was cry that whole weekend. Tears running down my face because I was broken, empty. Marriage was falling apart. I played 8 years already in the big leagues. I already had made $8 million, and I was empty inside. And I heard about Jesus. And at the end of Sunday, he said, everybody that's going to come down is going to feel the power of God, and God's going to touch some people and change some people's lives. And I was one of those people, Pastor Cam. I came down Sunday, came through the line. He laid hands on me, prayed over, and I fell to the ground, and he said, pick him up. My belly flowed like a river. He says, God has called you. I said, he sounds just like my mother. Little did I know God had called me, but little did I know I didn't step forward to continue with the call of God. And I ran for another 15 years in my life because I didn't get discipled. I didn't go through discipleship. I didn't go into any small groups and learn and gather myself and connect. Because see, the body of Christ is about connecting, and it's about being discipled so you can be able to know God's will and know God's perfect plan for your life. So some of you here today, you need to connect. You need to really connect and get in God's will, get in God's plan, get in God's purpose. It is the greatest thing that you will ever give to yourself when you get in God's plan and God's will. Amen? Amen. Come on, it's okay to talk back to me. I'm all right. I'm just here. I'm just a mouthpiece of God. I'm just been saved by grace. See, what you see around me, this is grace. Grace. God's grace is sufficient for all. Everyone that's here, his grace is sufficient for all. He will give it to you if you enter in with him. If you stop playing and straddle on the fence, like most of us, straddle that fence. One minute I'm hollering Jesus. Next minute I'm out of church, I'm still acting like a heathen. Don't work like that. God's will, God's will, God's plan. Let's put this, go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, that's us, just like the Israelites were, 400 years of slavery, 430 years of slavery. Moses tries to lead them and show them God's will, but they complain so much. 11-day trip, they could have been in the promised land. 11 days. You could have been in the promised land too in 11 days. But they complained so much that God sent them in the wilderness for another 40 years. See, God doesn't play. If you're just not going to do it, because I remember when God was calling me to do it and I didn't want to do it, he says, okay, I'll just let you go in the wilderness. And there I was in the wilderness. 14 years ago, I was in the wilderness until my wife, Tracy, came into my life, and God uses people. God's not going to change. He always uses people. He's never going to change. People to lead people. There it was when she came into my life. I was shooting dope. I was smoking crack, and she was pulling me out of dope house and saying, God's got a plan for you. I said, well, why don't he just let me die? She said, you're just not that lucky. Some of you here today, you're just not that lucky. That's right. God has kept you here. Some of you holding on to the seat. God wants you to know you are his people. We're just a different generation. We just have more than they had back then. They saw Moses part the Red Sea. Yes, Moses had an anger problem. Yes, Moses killed the Egyptian. But Moses walked with meekness with God. He walked with humility. God looks for the humble. God looks for the man who can walk in humility and who can humble himself so God can exalt you right in front of people's eyes. See, that's what God does when a man humbles himself. He exalts you because he's God. Man doesn't do this. God does this himself. When you understand, if my people who are called by my name. First thing in that text, you got to know that you call. So many of us don't know that we call. We don't answer the call. We don't hear the call. We don't answer the call. Because you know why? We're too busy. Busybody. Busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy with everything else, and we can't hear the call of God. See, the call of God is greater than anything that you will ever receive in your life. Anything. Oh, what a privilege it is. I finally answered the call after being broken for so many years and laying on my face with God. And I remember going back into the church and my wife leading me back to the cross. And I remember going into church and God didn't even look at me, Pastor Cam, for 7 years. He made me sit and get discipled. My wife said, you ain't gonna never be what God wants you to be until you sit your butt down and listen to him. Guess what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you sit, when you obey, when you follow the commandments. And first, in this text, you got to know you called. If you don't know you called, you can't even enter in because you don't even know you called. And guess what? I'm here to tell you, all of us are called. Not just some of us. It's the ones that answer the call. It's when we step up and answer the call and say yes to God. It's when a man can put his ego out of the way. See, I had to get rid of my ego. Ego, three-letter word, easing God out. I had to get rid of the ego to be able to understand I was called by God. See, because my ego tell me I'm all that in a bag of chips. But I wasn't. But that's what we think. We're all that. But it's not until I understand that I'm called, I can enter in with God. So many of you here today have been called. God has called you, but you still won't answer. But hopefully today God will touch your heart and you understand. Look at old broken me, what God has done. No man can do this, only God can do this. See, when God had to stop me, he had to sit me so I can listen and so I can be discipled, so I can understand the word. It's the word. Heaven and earth is gonna pass away, but not my word. You're gonna pass away, I'm gonna pass away. I buried my mom and buried my sister. My mom had 55, terminal breast cancer. My sister had cancer, 51. I buried them, I've had cancer twice. But the word is still here. The word is not going anywhere. The word is for us. It's up to us to know that we're called and we learn to eat the word for ourselves. It's a great gift when you start eating God's word. It's something great when you allow yourself to just lay with God and be with God. Turn off the television, stop worrying about the news, stop worrying about the political parts. Yeah, we got crisis because the Bible said all that stuff is going to take place. It's doing what it's supposed to do, but what are you doing with the call of God on your life? That's what you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself, what do I do? When I wake up every morning, there's an urgency in me to go out and do what God's called me to do and be a servant for God. I'm not that darn important, but he is. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his last words on that cross was, it is finished. He completed the task. Then he died. Then he went to the tomb, and then he got up early Sunday morning, and the tomb is empty now because he's been resurrected. See, you have to die so you can be resurrected just like Christ. Galatians 2:20 talks about it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who rules and reigns over my life. You get to be just like Christ here on earth. Oh, is that a wonderful thing or what? Amen. And you get to share the good news. See, it's the good news. It's not the CNN news, the NBC. It's the good news. That's what the news is, and most of us won't pick it up. Guess what? It's free. This here is free. Pick it up. There's power in it. There's power in the name of Jesus. Second, and there must know you're called. Then the next word, humble. Got to humble yourself. It's something about when a man can humble himself to God and let God use him for his glory. God, you know, Jesus is not concerned about status. because I own this and I got this and I was a baseball player and I was hitting home runs and winning championships. Jesus wasn't concerned about that. You know what Jesus was concerned about? Was all going to be well in my soul. He ain't concerned about this stuff here, because you know what? He got the keys to the kingdom for eternal life. So this is nothing here. See, we all get consumed with this and think this is it. This is nothing here. He's got the keys to the kingdom where everything, there's no more problems there. There's no more sickness. There's no more headaches. There's no more toothaches. There's no more IRS. There's no more bills to be paid. It's going to be a great day to cross over and know that I don't have to deal with all that no more. Dealt with it all here, but see, but I've been changed. I've been changed because I was able to humble myself to God. I was able to submit myself to God and say, God, you know what? I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Save me. And he says, okay, I think you're ready now. But I said, I didn't want to preach. You know, I remember when God called me 8 years ago and I didn't want to preach. And he was like, stopped me in New York City and said, close the restaurant business. I just opened a restaurant business. I was about to expand. God said, close the business. The business was just booming. Going this way, Pastor. He said, close it. And I wouldn't close it for 6 months. He made it miserable. See, my wife had been praying that God would stop me and that I would close the business. Gentlemen, there's something about a woman when she's praying over you. Because God called me and said, close it. And I wasn't, it was miserable 6 months, and he stopped me just like that, like Saul on Damascus Road. Stopped me just like that. Knocked him off the horse, blinded for 3 days, 3 nights. Told a man by the name of Ananias to go down there and pray over him. He was scared. Ananias was scared because Saul was a Christian killer. But he went down there and prayed over him, and he became the Apostle Paul. God stopped me just like that. And he says, you're going to preach. I says, no, I'm not. He says, yes, you are. I was wrestling with God. I said, no, I'm not. He goes, oh, yes, you are. Look at it. Look who wins. Look who wins. He wins all the time. He wins all the time. And you know, the thing about it is just to be grateful that, you know, he's so gracious with you and kind with you that he would allow you to do this. But see, what I tell, like I told Pastor Cam, is what I know. When God called me to preach, I was wrestling with him because I knew getting up in this pulpit, this is nothing to play with. This is nothing to play with. There's no getting up here mocking God. Because people's lives are on the line, and people will get hurt if you get up here and play. That's why I knew God. I said, well, I wasn't ready. He said, you're going to be ready because the power of the Holy Spirit will come over you. Because I said, I can't preach. He said, you're not going to preach, but the power of the Holy Spirit going to preach through you. All you got to do is read the Word and study the Word, and he's going to teach you the Word, and he's going to preach it for you. I was like, oh, Lord. And guess what? It happened. Because I was willing, and I finally said yes. Somebody need to say yes today, yes to Jesus, yes. That's a yes, Y-E-S, you enjoy salvation. You get to enjoy salvation. Let me get through this, you gotta pray. Prayer is the answer to all supplication. Keep praying, mama prayed for me. Mama didn't get to see it in the natural, but she's watching in the supernatural. So pray, don't give up on nobody, because you're not God. God makes the final call. We always wanna make the final call over people's lives. Well, I can't deal with this, well, just pray for them. Then you gotta seek, every day. Those that seek after me will find me. Seek after him every day. I get up every day, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get up and I play worship, I seek after God because you know what? I love him. Because why? He loved me first. He kept me. He didn't have to. So I'm gonna be grateful for him keeping me. So we need to be grateful for God keeping us and blessing us and multiplying us. When I started on this journey 14 years ago, I was $3 million in debt and I didn't have a driver's license. I was like, God, you got a great sense of humor. He wasn't caring about that. He was caring that I would do and get to the place that I needed to get. I needed to get in church and sit in church and be discipled and go to groups and sit in the back of the church and learn who God was, who Jesus was. And that's what some of us need to do, learn who he is. When you learn who he is, you're going to fall in love with him. Because he is so cool. He's better than my wife. He's better than my kids. He's better than my bank account. He's better than the clothes I got on. He's better than the house. Once you come to know him, not just his name, and you come into the real relationship with him, then you must turn. There's a turning that we have to do. You got to turn. You got to turn from the wicked ways. We got to turn away from the wicked ways of the world. We got to turn from all the talking. And we got to turn to the Word of God, and we got to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Turn from the wicked ways, because we all have sinned. We all have fallen short. The Bible never says some of us. It says all. We're all sinners. We're all falling short. But for the wages of sin is death. To know the will of God is the highest of all wisdom. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added into you. The seeking after the kingdom first. See, we want to seek for the things, and we miss the kingdom, and the kingdom have all answers. The kingdom of God has all answers, and we're seeking after the things. I'm so glad I got away. Like I said, I was $3 million in debt and didn't have nothing and didn't know how I was going to get where I was going to get. God wasn't concerned about that. God was concerned, was I going to seek after the kingdom? Then he restored me. Then he multiplied us. Then he gave us more. When I walked away from the business, he gave me more than I could ever imagine. And I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he gave it to me. From what the enemy has stole from me, God restored. I was a drug addict, and they were talking about it. God ended up giving me treatment centers to help people with drug problems. See, he's got a great plan if I know his will. If I put myself in his will, his plan is great. You won't miss it. I don't know. Stop thinking you're going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. But you got to put yourself in his plan and not your plan, you know. See, my wife, Tracy, was amazing when she finally got to that place with me. And we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and we were living together. She would say, I was shooting dope and smoking crack, and she said, we're going to St. Louis. And I said, I'm not going to St. Louis. Ain't no black folks in St. Louis. And I'm out of my mind. I got nothing. And there it is. She got a Toyota Camry, and we headed to Florida. I headed from out of Florida to Missouri to go stay at her parents' house where she grew up in her parents' basement. And she was crying when she was leaving Florida. Look out the window. She was crying. I'm thinking, we leaving Florida to go to Missouri? And she's crying. I was like, there's something wrong with this picture. And we got there, and she woke up, and I was lost. And she just woke up and one morning, and she had been studying the Word of God, and she said, told me, come from undercover. She tapped me on the shoulder, come from undercover. I need to talk to you. So she said to me, I ain't doing this no more. She said, I'm about to live for Jesus. She said, I ain't having sex with you no more. I said, what? She said, I ain't having sex with you no more. I don't know what you're going to do, but I ain't doing it no more. That was one of the greatest moments in her life and my life, because she stopped compromising. Yeah, right. And she sent me off, and I went off to be with my sister and stay with my sister and kids. And I stopped sex, drugs, I stopped everything. And got with God and saturated myself with God. We wasn't married, so she said, I'm not doing this no more. She said, I'm living right. She said, I am one with Jesus. I don't know what you're going to do. I didn't know if we're going to be together, but we married together. We married, and God restored us because we did it right. Because we did it right. So just to encourage somebody today about doing it right, getting it right. Because that's what it's all about. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We must be in a relationship with Jesus. It takes eyes of faith to want Jesus. Not feelings, takes eyes of faith to want Jesus. It was because of Tracy. I love my wife. She's amazing. Powerful woman of God. Love her. But she let me go so I can find my way. And I found the cross when she let me go. It's the greatest gift she ever gave me. I didn't know if we were going to ever get back together, but it worked out well. If you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Everything that could kill us, Jesus already killed it. Jesus already killed it. Jesus already killed everything that can kill you. all you got to do is enter in. See, so many of us don't want to enter in. We want to hold on to these worldly things. Let me tell you, baby, I'm going to tell you, sisters, brothers and sisters, worldly things don't work. They're going to just pass. They're going to keep passing. A car is a car, a house a house. But Jesus is Lord. It's not just casual, oh, he's just Jesus. No, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He got up with all power. So you can get up. So you can live a life. You can live an abundant life. And all those who are watching online, you can live an abundant life. This man named Jesus is amazing. Don't ever let anyone else tell you he's not. I'm here to tell you, he's restored, he's redeemed, he's liberated me, he's given me wisdom, he's given me knowledge, and he's given me everything that I've been missing in my life. I've had plenty of stuff, but it never fulfilled who I was. It wasn't until I had the encounter with Christ Jesus himself to be restored as a man. I'm not a victim. I'm overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he should direct your path. I'm not a victim. We cannot live in the regrets of the past. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have become new. You can become new. Somebody here today, somebody watching, you can become new. God's got a perfect plan for you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Surrender your life to Christ. Come to the altar. Come to and give your life to Christ. He is the great I am. There is no one like him. Somebody needs to know that today. He loves you. You're not a mistake to him. We've just made mistakes. And we all just have fallen short. But no one is a mistake to him. You must walk in faith. You look at a man and you hear a story of a man like me and my father. And I shared this in the men's breakfast yesterday about my father, the man that beat me and said I'd never amount to nothing. And I got real emotional yesterday with the guys. It was powerful because I was broken in my life because of him. And he was in the hospital and he was sick. And me and my brother Ronnie was in LA. I was about to do a men's conference. God sent me down there to go be with him. And God told me, go down there and repent to my father for keeping him out of my life. I said, huh? He says, yes. God says, how dare you not forgive him and I forgave you? How dare? So God sends me down there and I go down there and I repent to my father and I lay in his lap and I just lose it. I cry. He says, don't say anything about what he did to you. And I cry and I lose it. And then the Lord speaks to me after I get up and I says, Lord says, now lead him to the Lord. And I told my father, I said, you know, my life has changed. And the Lord, I said, would you like to accept the Lord as your Savior? And he said, yes. And I was able to lead him to the center of prayer and lead him to the Lord. And God always reminded me about this. You can clap for that. God had to remind me about this, that it's never, ever about you. But there was a freedom that came, a victory over my life, and a freedom came because I went down and repented to my dad. Not what he did to me, but what I did to him. Two wrongs don't make a right. There was a victory over me that came. I was a different person. All I did was cry when I drove back home because I was so free, set free. Because it held me down for years, keeping him out of my life. And I was this Major League Baseball player, all the success, and never put him in my life. And God says, how dare. So always remember, it's not about you. Everybody in the Bible had issues. They all had struggles. The book of John is about Jesus and his miracles and different things, turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000. And it's just about all the different things. And Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, unless one is born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And John 4, he told him about the woman at the well. He told him about the woman at the well. He told the woman at the well about her five husbands. The one you're living with now is not your husband. There's no secrets of God. He knows everything. The woman caught in adultery. The woman with the blood issue, Mark, in the book of Mark. 12 years of blood issue. She thought to herself, if I could only get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, and, you know, she thought with her mind and her heart that God had answered. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed immediately. But John 5, the book of John 5 is the pool of Bethesda. There were lame people there all at the pool. And the angels would stir up the pool and people would get in and get well. So one particular man sat there, and he sat there for 38 years. How long have you been sitting? He sat there for 38 years. Jesus didn't ask the man about his condition because Jesus already knew the condition of you. He didn't ask the man because he already knew the man's condition. Jesus asked the man one thing, do you want to be well? That's all Jesus asked. That's all Jesus asks all of us, do you want to be well? That's what he's asking some of you today. Do you want to be well? The man finally said, sir, every time I try to get in, he's not talking about the excuses. He said, do you want to be well? The man said, yes. He says, pick up your bed and walk. Jesus is asking somebody today, do you want to be well? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be liberated? Do you want to be free from sin, which keeps us separated from God? The reason why I was separated from God, didn't know God, is because of my sin. Kept me separated from God. God is so holy that he cannot look at me because I'm in sin because it would kill me. That's the message, God's will. Do you want to be well? Let us pray. Then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cam. Father, thank you. We love you, honor you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Father, I pray that someone has been touched today by your word, convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they want to be well. Make us well, make us whole, send us into purpose, Father. You're the great I am. We love you, honor you, and praise you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.